Now, if I said to you, what is the greatest love story ever written? You'd probably be thinking about some sort of romantic liaison, and Daily Telegraph had these as the top five. At number five, I don't know whether you agree with this, The Thornbirds. At number four, Pride and Prejudice. Number three, Wuthering Heights. Number two, Anna Karenina. And number one, Romeo and Juliet, the number one love story ever written. However, I would like to take issue with all of them, because I think the greatest love story ever written began before even the world existed, and it was with God, the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God is love. He is the very definition of love, and the Trinity is there as the root of love itself. And relationship as well, the relationship between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and perfect love there as well. It is the reason it exists. And it was no coincidence when God then created man and woman that he created them for relationship. He created them for love because they were created in his image for relationship and love. Because that's who God is. He is relationship. He is love, even without his creation. And indeed, God created marriage as a picture of that love that he has with his church. It says that that's why he created marriage, to show as a picture of what relationship was. But we also read in Genesis that sin came into and mankind decided to live differently apart from the God's ways and started to break relationships, first of all between God and man, and indeed, as we see in our broken world, between man and mankind and mankind, still broken, and we see it in relationships and love today. 1 Colossians 22 says this: "But now, by giving himself completely at the cross, actually dying for you, Christ brought you over to God's side and put lives together, whole and holy, in his presence." In other words, he then died on the cross that relationship be restored. How did he do it? Through love, for love, to rebuild the relationship between God and mankind, but also mankind and mankind, always relationship, at the core of it, love, and love restoring. And there's a verse in Revelation which says, love covers over a multitude of sin. So the cross covered over perfect love, covered over all sin, which is what happened on the cross. Love restores the relationship between us and God, and humans between themselves. And the extraordinary thing is that you are invited into that love, into the greatest love story ever, into a relationship with the Trinity, that you will be one as I am one, Jesus proclaimed. The cross defines love and defines the greatest story that ever lived. 1 John 3:16 says it's like this: "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters." Jesus laid down his lives to restore the relationship between God and us. And we must follow now with our brothers and sisters. We must love each other. But this is not some feeling or romantic thing. This love is a love that costs. It's a love that cost God his own son. It's a love that cost Jesus his life as he chose to go to the cross to restore that relationship. Love, God's love, costs. It isn't enough just to be here on a Sunday. It isn't enough just to praise God. In our gospel reading today, it says, "And to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." In other words, it's more than just a religious thing. It's more than something we do. It's a love that is practical. In James, we say, it says, faith without action is dead. There must be an action, and an action that costs. It's the outworking of our faith. It's not how we come to faith, but it's an outworking of our faith. As God has restored his relationship with us, so we must love one another with a love that costs. So when Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? It was no coincidence that he answered this, and you can see it in your reading on your sheet. The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Do you hear that? The Trinity. The Lord is one. Then it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. In other words, with all that you are, with a love that costs, love God. The second is this, the other side of the relationship, human and human. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. And Jesus goes on to say that when they ask him, who is your neighbor? Everyone, he says, as he tells the story of the prodigal, of the Good Samaritan. This is a love that costs. Love is the greatest command. It is our purpose in life as God's bride to be loving. Last week I talked about the Great Commission, which is the church going out to restore that relationship, to proclaim the good news that the relationship between God and humans can be restored. That great love story can be mended. That love story between Adam and Eve, which was broken with sin, can now be restored by the death of Jesus Christ. Everybody in the world wants, God wants to know that. John 3:16. And the church is called to do that, to be part of that. How do they do it? That's the Great Commission. We do it through the great commandment to have a love that costs. That's how we go out. So I want to get a little more practical with you. And I want to make it simple for us, but not easy, because it will cost us something. I want us to choose three people in our lives, maybe friends, neighbours, members of our family, people in our workplace, but three people. And there only needs to be three who you know, who do not know God's love and who really need to know God's love. And we are going to find, be that person who is that love that costs to those three people. And you are going to see those three people journey with you and God to have their lives transformed. As there are three actions I want to put to those three people that you choose. You might not be able to think of three now, but go away and think of three people who could be. You may even be thinking, well, James, I'm too old to go out on a mission and go and share all this. But I have told you once before about a lady in a nursing home and who I went to visit. And they said, there's a lady in the back room. She's bedbound. She cannot move from her bed. She lives in her bed. And I was thinking, oh gosh, I'm going to have to, this is going to be hard work because it's going to be difficult to go and visit her because I'll probably have to give lots of my energy in order to do this. So, nothing could be further from the truth. This lady was full of energy. She was full of God. And as I went in there, she ministered to me. She prayed for me. She lifted my spirits. She knew my name almost straight away and called me by it. And she just did just that, the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. And she was bedbound and very ill. And she was able to share God's love in a very, very real and practical way with me, bound by bed. So what I want us to do is to think of three people. And if you can think of them, I want you actually to do something as well, because this is a love that costs. And you can either do it after communion, or you can do it at the end of the service, or you can do it and come back next week if you can't. There's a board up there and it's just got three initials on it. I don't want you to put people's names on. I want you just simply put their initials on it. And on that board over there. And if us as a whole church, there's a good 100 of us that come, That would mean 300 people would be up on that board receiving God's love that costs. And I want us to do three things. This is how I want to do it. I want us to spend, and it's over 3 years, so don't worry, it'll take time, and there's a journey that we'll go on. The first year, I want us simply to pray for those three people. It won't take you more than 5 minutes each day. Don't worry if you forget one day. Do it the day after or when you remember next to pray for those three people. I'm going to keep reminding you, and next week we're going to show how we can keep energized in this. And remember, short, simple and specific. You could do it in your home. I've got a special seat where I like to pray. You can do it walking. You can do it on a train, in the car. It doesn't matter. But just simply ask that God's love, that amazing love, will come into those three people's lives. It will cost you something, but it will transform the lives of the people that you pray for. I guarantee it. In the second year, care. Ask God to open doors for you to care for those three people in practical ways. It might be having a coffee, simply listening to them. Listen, maybe there's some sort of brokenness in their family. Maybe you could pray with them. Maybe you could give them a meal. Maybe you could give them a lift. There are all different ways that God. But simply ask God, and God will give you an opportunity. You don't even have to create it. God will give it to you. You simply have to walk through the door that God gives you. It will cost you something, but love costs. The third year, to share that good news. And again, simply ask God to provide an opportunity for you to share your faith with the people that you mix with, those three people. You can do more than three, but three keeps it simple. And you can simply tell them about something God's done in your life. Tell them why you're a Christian. Tell them something God's done. Tell them something about the church that you find positive. The world out there, far more than we realize, is longing to hear the good news. The church simply has lost confidence in sharing it. We need to regain that confidence through God's Holy Spirit to give us the confidence to pray for people, to care for people, and to share the good news. Three people, family, friends, neighbors, work colleagues. Prayer, care, share. One each year. It's doable. It's simple. But names up on that board, those lives will be transformed. But you know, we talk a lot, and Jesus isn't interested in any of our sacrifices that we might do here if we're not doing what his bride was born to do. Share the good news. Be the good news. We in here need to be that good news afresh and new. We are going to need the Holy Spirit. It is going to be difficult. It is going to cost us something. It is going to be challenging. But when we become the people we were created to be, there is nothing more fulfilling, nothing in us that will be more satisfying than conquering our fears, overcoming those things, and walking and being in heaven and saying, that person is here with me because I just gave a little bit of my time and a little bit of my love that cost for them. And we'll see them in heaven because of that journey we've been on them. Amen.